Morning again. Singing that tune stands out for me. Actually, when I was preparing for today, I was thinking, wow, what songs can we sing and what's going to go along with my message? And that just kind of stood out. And actually, as I'm singing through it, and I'm not a singer by all means, but I mouth the words well, so it works. But, you know, you look at those words in, I think it was verse 3, the heroes, they didn't care about themselves. They cared about the freedom that we have in this country, and they loved the country, and they fought for it, okay? Anyway, enough about that. February is the month of love, right? We have Valentine's Day coming up in a few short days, so men and women, I don't just point to the men because women forget that kind of stuff too, but, you know, it's just a few short days away. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I'm moving on. Today we're going to talk about legacies of our forefathers. What is legacy? Well, the internet meaning is you are impacting future generations by the way you lived your life and decisions you made. By the way you lived your life and the decisions you made. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. This month, we're going to kind of talk about, or we have been talking about forefathers and so on. And February is President's Day, or President's Day falls in February. And it was formerly 2 days, two very important days that everybody had a lot of honor during those 2 days, and it was recognizing President Washington and President Lincoln. Now we've changed over, and there's not near the honor involved in President's Day that there used to be in celebrating the two presidents' birthdays. Now it's President's Day, and everybody just looks forward to possibly having a day off. They don't even give days off a lot of times anymore. But that honor and that pride of these men's legacies has just kind of stepped off the side, and we move on to just President's Day in February. Now, there's a few February birthdays to note. That we're going to talk about a few of these people a little bit more, but Moses was born about 4,000 years ago today, give or take 12 months. George Washington, who is part of the President's Day celebration or honor, born February 22nd. Ben Franklin, who we're going to talk about a little bit more today, born January 17th. Well, that's close enough to February for President's Month, or Honorary Month. Abraham Lincoln, February 12th, and John Hancock, January 23rd. Again, close enough. Forefather Month, actually, I think we ought to call it American or Great Americans Month instead of Forefathers, but or President's Month or President's Day. Micah defined forefathers last week as a member of past generations family, or a precursor of a particular movement. In the previous slide, we mentioned several people that I kind of have some interest in. And in preparing for today, I noticed that's why I listed those others, or those four people. They have some pretty good quotes out there that, you know, stand behind why we should look at them and look at their legacies as being something to honor. George Washington was heard to say, "It's impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible." John Hancock, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." Abraham Lincoln, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, because God is always right." And then from Psalm 33, 11 and 12, "But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen for his own." We'll hear more from Anonymous later on. I want to take some time to look at more closely at the impact future generations may look at from the decisions that these men have made. Moses was a covenant leader, faithful all the way through his life into right up till his death. He stood for his faith. George Washington has a legacy of moral character. Ben Franklin, practical wisdom and growth. All these men just had a lot of fortitude and strength and faith in their abilities. Deuteronomy 6. Bible turned upside right. "These are all the commands, laws, and regulations that the Lord your God told me to teach you so you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and so you and your children and grandchildren might fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his laws and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, to everything I say. Be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." Moses emphasized that we have to obey. We have to obey so we can enjoy. And then he repeated it again in that passage, "Be careful to obey, and all will go well for you." Moses, you know, was a strong, faithful leader, but it didn't come easily for him, as for me. Let's look at Exodus 4, not Numbers. Ten through 16. "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'O Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even after you have spoken to me, I'm clumsy with words. Who makes mouths?' The Lord asked him. 'Who makes people so they can speak or not speak, hear or not hear, see or not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go and do as I have told you. I will help you speak well, and I will tell you what to say.'" But Moses didn't stop there. But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please, send somebody else." Then the Lord became angry with Moses. "All right," he said, "what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? He's a good speaker. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. And when he sees you, he will be very glad. Moses was a reluctant leader, but he was faithful. I think an impact that was made, he led all the while that knowing that he wouldn't enter the land of flowing with milk and honey. If we look at Deuteronomy 4:21, having that kind of, the kind of faith, knowing you're not going to reap the reward, but you go on anyway. That's the legacy, the impact that I want to pass along. But the Lord was very angry with me because of you. He vowed that I would never cross the Jordan River into the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. Though you will cross the Jordan to occupy the land, I will die here on this side of the river. Faithful leader knew that he wasn't going to go into that, get the reward, but he led anyway and had faith and was telling his people, follow these rules and regulations so you can move into that land of flowing with milk and honey. So Moses, as I said, he led with humility and faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4, after the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say to yourselves, the Lord has given us this land because we are so righteous. No, it's because of the wickedness of the other nations that he is doing it. It is not at all because you are such righteous, upright people that you are about to occupy their land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their wickedness and to fulfill the oath he had sworn to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I say it again, the Lord your God is not giving you this good land because of your righteousness, for you are not. You are a stubborn people. So Moses reluctantly led his people, God's people, to just outside of the land flowing with milk and honey. Stayed faithful to the rules and regulations and that God had laid out for him. Knew that and humbly said, "Yeah, you got to keep it up here. It's not just me, it's us, and you have to keep it up." Faithful, humility. Now, George Washington, was his legacy, I think, after doing some research in there. He has very good moral character. He stood beside his men during the Revolutionary War. He was a very strong leader during that time and a gentleman. Before we go on too much here, let's look at Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear him, to live according to his will, to love and worship him with all your heart and soul, and to obey the Lord's commands and laws that I am giving you today for your own good. I believe that George Washington led in the same way that Moses did back here in Deuteronomy, where he wrote this part of the Bible. I think George Washington did the same thing. He led with honor. He led his people through thick and thin. He led the army through Revolutionary War, led the American colonies to victory. Often during the Revolutionary War, he invoked blessing and protection from heaven on his troops, and he urged his troops to live and act as Christian soldiers defending the dearest rights and liberties of their country. As a president, George Washington administered the government with fairness and integrity, assuring Americans the president could exercise executive authority without corruption. He was a leader in the world of executive authority, huh? So how does this impact future generations? George Washington led with moral strength, and he depended on God. He put God in front of his troops. He put God in front of, and in fact, he dedicated the country to God during his inaugural prayer when he was inaugurated to president. Then he stepped down from office after his second term on his own. In fact, and I'm not sure of the exact time frame, but he turned down being appointed king instead. He wanted to unify and have democracy in his country. So George Washington did a lot with dependence on God. And then he led with integrity, another part of his legacy that needs to move on. Oh, look, there's a light at the end of a tunnel. You know, we don't celebrate Ben Franklin enough. He was involved in signing several rather important documents in the United States of America history. The Declaration of Independence, Treaty of Paris, United States Constitution. It's pretty important stuff. And he lived his life in a way he embodied his own, this quote here, without continual growth and progress, such words as improvement, achievement, and success have no meaning. It was very important to him to move forward and have progress in life. And that progress for him, there was a lot involving the Bible and his belief in God. He lived by virtues. He made this list of virtues that he thought very important. And I think that if we look at these virtues in our own lives, we can really be lay down and be have a very good legacy that we will leave behind. I'm not going to cover all of these the references that are there, but I'm going to touch on a few of them. Silence in Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. When they keep their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. That kind of goes along with, and I'm not sure exactly who told me this first or where it came from. I believe, well, I'm not going to say. Better to be silent and thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I've tried to live by that in my own life. Not going to talk unless I know what I'm talking about. Justice, Micah 6:8. Know, O people, the Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what he requires, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And then tranquility, John 14:27. This is Jesus speaking. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. And then humility, Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make good impression on others, but humble thinking of others is better than yourself. Mr. Franklin lived by these virtues, studying them often and keeping things in order. I don't know if you can read that very well, but this was his daily calendar, if you will, or his how he kept his day in order. And I don't know if you'll notice the column on this side at the top there, the morning question, what good shall I do today? And then bottom of that, in the evening question, what good have I done today? Good thought and feeling for us to go by. But the other side of that is an hour by hour tracking of his day. And I thought it was interesting that he started every day. He would rise, wash, and address powerful goodness. And that one kind of struck me because I searched it out, and this is what it says. O powerful goodness, bountiful Father, merciful guide, increase in me that wisdom which discovers my truest interest. Strengthen my resolution to perform what that wisdom dictates. Accept my kind offices to thy other children as the only return in my power for thy continual favors to me. The research I did, that was daily for Ben Franklin. Get up in the morning, wash, ask the question, what am I going to do good today? And recite that prayer. So let's look back a little bit at these three people that I've kind of talked about. What growth and impact on generations to come do these, how did they get there? Well, Moses grew in faith to lead God's people, held his faith, continued with his faith all the way till he died. Washington was moral conviction and humility. He humbly led his troops and his nation when he was the president. And his character was rooted in honesty led with a deep sense of duty. And then Franklin, in his pursuit of discipline and virtue. Franklin's that quote, without continual growth and progress, such words as improvement and achievement and success have no meaning. And we need to have that in our thought process continually. We need to seek growth daily to honor God and impact others. And commit to leaving a legacy of faith character, and wisdom. How can we grow in those things? Well, reflect on those 13 virtues of Franklin. We can improve at any of those. Keep them in our mind, and, you know, is what I'm doing honoring God and honoring those virtues that may be there? Commit daily to spiritual growth with prayer and Bible study. And then lead with integrity and humility in all areas of our life. It doesn't matter if we're standing in front of a group at church teaching a Sunday school class, or standing in front of a group of co-workers. We need to lead with integrity and humility. Because you don't know what people around you are going to see out of you and pull that legacy out of, you know, from what you've done. Before we go to the closing hymn, I'd like to read a poem to you. It's kind of talking about a little bit of a legacy type of thing. I credit this to Connie, because yesterday when she was going through some items that she had brought to our house from her parents' house, she found this poem, and it's an old one, and it's again from that great author, Anonymous. It's called At the Cross. He stood at the crossroads all alone, with the sunrise at his feet. He had no fear for the path unknown, no dread for the perilous race. The road stretched east and the road stretched west. No one showed him which was best. So the boy turned wrong and went on down, and lost the race and the victor's crown, and fell at last in the deadly snare, because no one stood at the crossroads there. Another boy, another day, at the self-same crossroads stood. He paused a moment to see which way would lead to the greatest good. The road stretched east and the road stretched west. Someone showed him which way was best. The boy turned right and went straight on, won the race and the victor's crown, and came at last to the mansion's fair, because someone stood at the crossroads there. You know, we don't know what our impact is going to be on people around us, but when they get to that crossroads, maybe something we've done in their life or around them will send them down that right road. I almost forgot, too, before we go to the closing hymn. I have this picture of Lincoln up here in front. We're talking about legacies and forefathers, and I mentioned Mr. Lincoln in my talk here. This picture was drawn by my grandfather about 100 years ago. He was in his early 20s, I think. Not real sure. He signed or initialed it, but he never dated the picture. I'm proud of my heritage, proud of my background. My grandfathers, my dad, led me down the right road. I got to I never have really been to a crossroad where I felt like I needed to go right or left, because I was always on the right road because of my forefathers. We stand and sing number 407.